If you're struggling in your career, business, or life, this podcast is for you. 9/11 survivor Ari Schoenbrunn shares inspiring interviews so you too can rise like a phoenix from the ashes to live your best life. Here's your host, Ari.
Welcome to Whispers and Bricks. My name is Ari Schoenbrunn. I'm your host. Today's episode, we're continuing on with the amazing story from Sabra Marcus. I don't want to take any time away from her. So, Sabra, take it away, please.
And so, you know, I've always waited for that blue dress. I always waited for that princess. I wanted to be a princess. I was always dirty. Torn clothes, torn coat. Sooner or later, a person's got to be a princess. You know, all girls are princesses. From Austria, with the trucks, they took us into Germany, into the DP camps.
DP camps, displaced person camps, right?
Correct. Okay. That's correct. We were in several. And for 3.5 years.
Wow.
It was not as horrifically starving, but it was awful. It was awful. It was awful. There was a little bit more freedom, but it was awful. And for a long, long time, I kept dreaming about the princess. Papa said I was going to be someday. I wanted to be a princess. I really did. I deserved to be a princess. I was so, Papa said I was so pretty. And I was so smart. To get to tell you about the princess, I will jump ahead a few years. We arrived in Haifa. And we lived there for some time. And it was time to go to a very important event. My father's nephew was having his bar mitzvah. And what remained of our family on my mama and papa's side were going to gather to come to this very important event. I looked at papa and I said, yes, of course, I would like to go. Anushka, are you coming? I said, yes, papa, but I have no clothes. We were so poor. There was barely food and there was no work. Israel, when we arrived, Israel was only less than 1 year old. So it's 1949.
Oh, the country was less than a year old.
Yes.
Well, yeah.
Israel itself.
Right. Yeah.
Yes, of course. And I said, Papa, look at me. He said, it's okay. Mama and I will take care of it. You'll be fine. You will be a princess. I said, you always say that, but look at me. He came home from work and he said to ask my mother, Vora, did you get it? And she said, yes. Exactly what I said, yes. Top and bottom, yes. Anushka, go in our bedroom and look on the bed. I went in there. And on that bed, oh my God, Ari, there was that beautiful princess dress. Pale blue, shiny satin. Shiny. With a matching bow, big, big, beautiful bow for my hair. And a big bow to go around of the waist with the strap and the bow in the back. Oh my goodness. I looked at it and I cried and I cried. And Papa said, don't cry. You need to have beautiful eyes for the party. Mama dressed me, combed my hair, put my ribbon on. None of us understood that no one else in Israel will look like this today, except me. No one wore ribbons in their hair. Unless they had a long ponytail or a bunch of braids. But I never had enough hair for either one of those. So putting a bow in my head was the only thing you could do. And of course, you'd be the laughing stock of the country. But I got lucky. My beautiful dress was beautiful. My beautiful belt with that big blue bow on my center of my back. And Mama got me shoes. Lovely shoes without holes like the Israelis. Real shoes. What I didn't know was that Mama was scouring every flea market in Haifa to find this wardrobe.
Wow.
All the other money went for food and survival. The rent for the place was minimal. We could barely make the rent. And many at times we went to bed without food. So I was a princess. And when I came to the bar mitzvah, everyone, while they were shocked with that gigantic bow on my head, everyone was silent and informed me that I looked so beautiful. Papa said, like a princess, right? And everybody agreed. I looked like a beautiful princess. I was not a child anymore. And I knew, I could tell from the faces that some of them were a little bewildered with the wardrobe and that big ribbon on my head, that big bow. I was, how old was I? I was just past 12.
Wow.
12? Yes, I was about 12. And I pretended I didn't notice the looks. I pretended I didn't care because Papa kept his word. He got me the pale blue satin dress and my bows, as he promised years ago. See, Papa never lied. Never. Papa never lied.
Wow. That's absolutely amazing. Such an amazing story. It's just, it's unfathomable. Yet the human spirit that you portray is just, it's such a inspiration, you know, to have lived through hell and back, and then to see you today with that smile, with, you know, you're a very, very strong woman. Obviously you needed to be. And to this day, I'm sure that, you know, you are a very, very strong woman, and I pity the person that's going to cross you, because I don't know what you would do to them.
I don't think he should be in the same city with me for a month at least.
There you go. Now, when did you come? So you left Israel ultimately and you came to America?
In 1960.
In 1960. So that's what?
In 1952, my mother decided that the heat in Israel and what they is called chamsin.
Yeah.
Chamsin is a horrific heat that comes from the desert.
Right.
And dries everything. And it's where sometimes the expression was, it's a miracle that hasn't dried the Mediterranean.
Yeah.
It was awful. She was suffering. She really hated it.
Right.
And then, of course, we had many, many skirmishes, and my father had to go to the military in 1953. There was a campaign.
Right.
And my mother said, I will not sacrifice anyone in my family anymore. And you know what she did? When I first heard it, I was shocked. I said, she said, they will never change. I told you again and again, they will never change. Mama, who they? Who? Those brown skin Nazis. We were surrounded by nations of Arabs.
Right.
She named them brown skin. No, excuse me. Ugly brown skin Nazis. No, she specified what kind.
Right. Right.
Her
so,
anger was beyond reproach. Her anger was.
Were you still in Israel in 1956?
Of course.
Because that's
1960.
You left in 1960. So in 56, that was when, again, there was another war.
Yeah.
That was the Sinai.
Campaign.
The Sinai campaign in 56, yeah. Right. Yeah. And then you left in 1960 and you came to, you didn't come to America. You went to Canada. Is that correct?
No,
you came to America?
New York City. Oh, sure. I lived there for 12 years. And then 2 years in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And then given a very, very lucrative contract to perform in Calgary, in Canada. So I traveled up here.
And you were a dancer, correct?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I was a big success in Canada.
I hear.
Very big.
I hear.
I had my own television show. I had my own school. I taught 4,700 students.
Wow.
Yeah. Ladies of all ages. And actually, I made a film with Richard Gere, and we filmed it here in Canada.
Really?
Oh, yes. It's called Days of Heaven.
Days of Heaven?
Uh-huh.
Now I got to look it up. I got to watch it.
Don't get excited. We didn't win any awards.
I don't care. So, but I could watch and say, I know that person.
Yes, you do know that lady. I had a very nice part in it, but you know, a lot of stuff lands on the editing floor.
Floor, right, yeah.
So my dancing scene is in it.
Oh, cool.
And a few other small stuff with Richard Gere in one of those, the plane with the double wings. You know, because the film is takes place in the First World War.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So, by winged plane.
Right.
My husband and I were supposed to fly out of there. This is taking place supposedly in Texas.
Yeah.
And it's shot in Lethbridge, which is the same topography.
Uh-huh.
And at night we froze to death and we burned up in the daytime shooting. So we're on the plane and I'm sitting in his lap and all he kept murmuring is, of course, we didn't have any voiceover. It was just the wind and the sound of the
engines,
motor.
Yeah.
And he kept whispering, "You're so tall. You're so tall." He really liked that. He's a short man. And I was too tall. I was 5'8 with the 3 and 4 inch heels.
Wow.
So he was funny. A very nice person.
All right. Anna, I have to thank you so much.
Anna, not Sabra.
Anushka.
Okay, Anushka.
I have to thank you so much for sharing your story. It takes a lot of courage to do it. I know that. I know that it brings back a lot of unpleasant memories, to put it mildly.
But Ari, this is why people keep saying, what do you mean it took you 6 years to write your book? Because you're sobbing after some of the chapters.
Correct.
You're in hysterics crying. How can you write for another week or two or a month or later?
Right.
You can't. You're heartbroken.
Right.
It took 6 years, but it's out. It's done.
It is. And you can get it on Amazon.
Okay.
Right? And it's called?
Only a Bad Dream with a Question Mark.
Only a Bad Dream?
With a question mark.
Get it on Amazon. If you want to get the rest of the details of Sabra Anna Marcus's life story through the Holocaust, it's going to be so worth the read. It's going to be incredible. I urge you to go out and I urge you to get it. Now I don't know what to call you, but Anushka, again, thank you so much. I appreciate it. I'm humbled that you allowed me to record you and to get this word out. And keep doing what you're doing. Keep telling your story. Keep talking to kids. And I think that's the most important. Most important part is talking to the children, because, you know, they need to know. They need to know, and they, so that they can carry on the story, so that the world will never, ever forget. Because at this stage of the game, I mean, let's be real, you're probably one of the last survivors. You're one of the youngest to get through it. You're probably part of the last survivors. After, you know, after your generation, there is nobody else. So we need to make sure that we keep going, keep telling your story, keep inspiring people.
And what can I tell you?
Yes.
I need to tell you what Elie Wiesel said to me. He said it more than once. He said, Sabra, you are the voice of 1.5 million children. You must never stop speaking. They didn't get to live to tell. You must keep speaking for the rest of your life. You are the voice of your two brothers that were murdered. Two little boys you never met. Two little boys, you don't know their names. But they're gone. Every child in the world will demand that you speak for them. Every child that was murdered by those horrific Nazis.
Yeah. Thanks again, Anna. You've been listening to Whispers and Bricks. My name is Ari Schoenbrunn. Till the next episode, listen to the whispers, avoid the bricks, never ever give up on your dreams, no matter how old you are, as Sabra Anushka Marcus has just proven to us over these past 10 episodes. Thank you very much, and we'll see you next time. Bye for now. You've been listening to Whispers and Bricks, and I'm your host, Ari Schoenbrunn. Until next time, listen to the whispers, avoid the bricks, and never ever give up on your dreams. Bye for now.
So that's it for today's episode of Whispers and Bricks. Head on over to iTunes and subscribe to the show. One lucky listener every single week that posts a review on iTunes will win a chance in the grand prize drawing to win a $25,000 private VIP day with Ari himself. Be sure to head on over to whispersandbrickspodcast.com and pick up a free copy of Ari's gift, and join us on the next episode.